Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So today I want to ask you a question. What is hindering you? God bless you. Please be seated. Hinder means to harm, injure, impair, repress. When you're hindered, you're held back and your progress is obstructed by whatever is hindering you. There's something you want to do, a goal you want to achieve, something you know you need to do, but there's a force holding you back. It's hindering you. Jewish leaders, Jesus said, were hindering people from going into the kingdom of God, that they didn't go in themselves, and they actually impeded the progress of people who are wanting to be saved. They took away the key of knowledge. Paul told the Roman Christians, "I really wanted to come visit you, but I have been much hindered in coming to you." To the Thessalonians, it was worse. He said, "I wanted to come visit you, but Satan hindered me." It's pretty tough when Satan holds you back or stands in the way. The Galatian Christians were struggling with these Judaizers or false teachers who were trying to subvert their faith away from the grace of God. And Paul asked them, "Who has hindered you that you should not obey the truth?" Now in Galatians, the word hindered is a word picture more than just being held back. He talks about them running this race. And it's like a runner that is running the course, and someone comes from the sideline and tries to knock them off course or knock them down to hinder them from running the race and from finishing the race. What is hindering you? What is hindering you from giving your life to Jesus Christ? What is hindering you from serving God with all of your heart? What is hindering you from becoming the person that God intended you to be? What is hindering you from answering the call of God in your life? I believe that God can give us breakthrough today so we can overcome everything that is trying to hinder us and obstruct us from being what God wants us to be. What is hindering you? But I've learned that breakthrough is up to you. You have to decide that even if you're hindered, you will not be stopped. Amen. Now, there are several examples in the Bible. My message today is pretty straightforward and simple to illustrate this question: what is hindering you? I found out in my life and from the Bible that some people are hindering from obeying the gospel because of religious tradition. What mom and dad believe, how they were raised, their lineage in some church, and it holds them back. A man named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. The story is in John chapter 3. And he said to Jesus, "We know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these miracles that you're doing except God is with him. But we can't figure out who you are, and you go against everything our tradition teaches, and we're struggling to understand it." Nicodemus was a skeptic, but he was a sincere skeptic. He asked honest questions. And in the story of his life in the Gospels, he went from being a skeptic to a curious seeker of God. He first comes to Jesus by night, so no one will know that he's actually trying to get to Jesus. He becomes a secret follower. And at the end of the Gospels, he is a devoted disciple of Jesus Christ, an open disciple who, along with Joseph of Arimathea, claims the dead body of Jesus Christ. If you're being hindered by religious tradition, by your background, by your preconceptions of Jesus Christ and what the Bible says, I want to help you today that you can overcome what is hindering you if you will open your eyes to the truth and not let tradition blind you from what the Word of God says. Amen. No matter how you were raised, what religious persuasion you are of today, if you will seek truth and seek Jesus, tradition will not stop you. Amen. That's John 3. John 4 is a totally opposite character study. It's not a man, it's a woman. It's not a righteous person, it's an ungodly person. She thinks it's a chance encounter at a well. But Jesus has gone there on purpose. I must needs go through Samaria. She's there at noon, maybe to avoid the other women who would have come early in the morning when it was cool to collect water in their water pots. When she comes to Jesus, she throws up a smoke screen that she's religious. You're religious, I'm religious. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You worship there, we worship here. You worship one way, you worship another. But all of our worship is, you know, God knows the sincerity of our heart, and so she uses religion as an excuse. And finally, in this amazing conversation, Jesus says, go call your husband. Whoops. She says, about that, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five, and you're living with a man that's not your husband now. And all of a sudden, the lights went on, and she said, oh, I perceive that you're a prophet. The sin in this woman's life was a hindrance to her coming to Jesus Christ. And while she had lots of excuses, lots of reasoning, it was all a cover-up for what was going on in her life. But this unlikely witness of Jesus Christ was forgiven by Jesus, went back into her city, and said, come see a man who told me everything that I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, I know when people are coming to God, they look at the sin in their life and they think that God doesn't love them. They're disqualified. There's too many obstacles, too many hindrances. But don't you know that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost? Don't you know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the chiefest of sinners? And though sin may hinder you, you're the kind of person that Jesus came for. Don't let sin hinder you from getting to Jesus Christ. What is hindering you? Then there's Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus. I learned in Sunday school that he was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He couldn't see Jesus for people. Tax collector, wealthy, successful, despised by everyone they thought that he had ripped off. And he couldn't see Jesus for people. You know, I've seen a lot of folks that they couldn't see Jesus for people. They look at people in the church who were imperfect just like them. And instead of looking in the mirror, they look through their magnifying glass and they can find the fault of everyone else. They can't get over people to see Jesus. Maybe it's people who accuse them. Maybe it's people who try to accept them. I don't know what people are hindering you from seeing Jesus Christ, but whatever it takes for you to see Jesus, you've got to get over people to see Jesus. Don't let people keep you from going to heaven. Don't let people keep you and cause you to go to hell. You've got to get over people to see Jesus. What is hindering you? Zacchaeus had to climb a tree. Maybe you need to change social circles. Maybe you need to tell that person that they don't matter in your life as much as Jesus does. If people are hindering you from seeing Jesus, get over people to see him. Amen. What is hindering you? Zacchaeus found his way, and actually Jesus came to him. Come down. I'm going to your house today. It was scandalous that Jesus would eat with the publican, a tax collector, but he did. When I was a teenager, there was a saying that went around that said, the devil made me do it. And there are some people who can't get to Jesus because of the devil. They say, it's the devil, he's hindering me. But I want you to know today that the devil, while he can hinder you, he cannot stop you from getting to Jesus Christ. Religious tradition can't. Sin can't. People can't stop you. And neither can the devil. There's a story in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus, and there's a little different angles of these stories, but Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee and he comes to what is called the country of the Gadarenes. And when he gets there, immediately when he gets out of the ship, there's a man that comes out of the tombs and he's got an unclean spirit, Mark says. We learn he's got a lot of unclean spirits. He's got enough devils to fill a herd of a couple thousand pigs. He's got a lot of devil in him. But he comes out of the tombs, and the Bible describes this man. He lives among the tombs, and he must be a wild man because they try to tie him. They try to chain him, and when they do, he just breaks the bands and breaks the chains like they are absolutely nothing. And as many times as they bound him, Mark chapter 5, verse 4 tells us that he plucked him asunder and he broke them in pieces, and no man can tame him. He went to all the classes. He went to all the reform schools. He tried this program and that program, and programs can help people, but they can't tame the devil. He was hindered by the devil. The Bible said, and always, he couldn't sleep. He had insomnia day and night. He would roam around in the mountains. He would go in the tombs. Maybe he slept there among the dead. And he was crying out. I don't think it means just crying, screaming, screeching. And he would cut himself with stones. He had self-destructive behavior, like people that cut themselves in our modern culture. The community could not control him. Unclean spirits controlled him, lived in the place of the dead. This was a condition that he was in, written off by society, a hopeless case, ostracized him, let him live out there. But in your Bible, in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I want to tell you today that the devil cannot hinder you from getting to Jesus Christ. He can try to stop you, but he cannot keep you from getting to Jesus. Think of this. With all the control that Satan exercised over him, the devil could not stop him from worshiping Jesus. Pardon me, but a lot of you have got a lot less keeping you from worshiping Jesus. Tormented, but Jesus delivered him, sent him back to his town to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Possessed of the devil. When they found him, after he found Jesus, Mark 5:15 tells us, they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. He is sitting, not wandering and roaming. He is clothed, not naked. He's in his right mind. He's no longer crazy. Amen. And they were actually afraid of a guy that was saved. And they asked Jesus to get out of their country. What is hindering you? Us religious tradition. It's the sin in my life. It's the people that are coming between me and Jesus Christ. I've learned that if a hypocrite is standing between you and Jesus, maybe they're closer to him than you. And I would rather go to church with a hypocrite than to go to hell with a hypocrite. What is hindering you? Amen. Well, it's the devil. I've got these addictions. I've got these things that bind me that I cannot break free from in my life. But I will tell you by the word of God today, not my opinion, not my perspective, that if you will come to Jesus Christ, no matter what seems to be hindering you, it cannot stop you. Amen. Which leads me to our text today, Acts chapter 8. There's a man of Ethiopia. He's a Gentile, and not a Jew, a Gentile. He lives in Africa. He's a very successful man, prominent. He works for the queen of the country, but he must be a God-fearer because he goes all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship Jehovah God. He does not know that Jehovah has come in the flesh as Jesus Christ lived, died, buried, resurrected, ascended, and poured out the Holy Ghost. He doesn't know about that at all. But somehow, this man who is successful and wealthy, he has obtained a fragment of scripture, some parchment. He's already gone to Jerusalem, where all the religious people are. Now he's going back home, and he's riding in his chariot, and he is reading the Bible. We would say he is reading Isaiah 53 that describes the suffering Savior. Philip, in the meantime, has been in Samaria at a red-hot revival where people are healed, delivered, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He's right there in the middle of that, and the Lord says, I've got one guy I need you to go to. You're going to leave all of this, and you're going to go down in this desert area. And then he sees the Ethiopian, and the Lord said, I want you to go join him in his chariot. So he runs to him, catches up with him, and is invited to come in the chariot to sit with this Ethiopian man who is reading the Old Testament of the Bible. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? Said, how can I except some man guides me? Who is he talking about? Who is this writer we know as Isaiah? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? Well, Isaiah was talking about Jesus. And Philip began at that very place and he preached Christ to him. Now, we don't know all the detail of the conversation, but certainly by the context and by the actions, we know he must have gotten from Jesus to the Holy Ghost and water baptism in Jesus' name. So as they're bumping along in the chariot, reading the Bible and having an impromptu Bible study, the Bible said in Acts 8:36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What is holding me back? That I'm a Gentile? That I'm from Africa? That I don't know very much about this? I can't even understand the Bible at all. I'm reading, but I don't have any understanding. What is it that is holding me back from getting baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today? And Philip says to him in verse 37, and Philip said, if you believe. If you believe with all your heart, you may. It's not the devil that can stop you. It's not tradition that can stop you. It's not people that can stop you. It's not sin that will stop you. It's really up to you, Philip told this Ethiopian man. You may wonder what is holding you back, but Philip said the only thing that is holding you back is your belief. But if you will believe with all of your heart in Jesus Christ, then I will baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ here on the side of the road in this little pond of water, because nothing can hold you back from getting to Jesus Christ once you make up your mind that you are coming to Him. Amen. The devil can't stop you. You've just got to make up your mind. No matter what has been standing in my way, no matter what has been holding me back, I believe, I made a decision, I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to obey the word of God. I told you this was a simple sermon, but it is lodged in my spirit, because I don't know who you are, or what has been holding you back, or why you're standing in a place and not moving forward in obedience to God. You may be a saint who has been in the church all of your life, but God is inviting you to take the next step. Maybe you're brand new in the church and you're kind of waffling on whether or not you want to be all in or you're going to go all out. But today, I am telling you, whatever is hindering you to take a step of faith in obedience to the Lord and take that next step in faith and walk with Him and obey Him. This is not just for the unsaved. It is not just for the unbaptized. It is for every one of us to understand that there's a lot of junk that gets in our way, that tries to hinder us from our walk with God, try to knock us off track, knock us off course. But today, I'm challenging you. Today, I encourage you to whatever is hindering you, to don't let it knock you out of the way. It cannot stop you from obeying Jesus Christ. Not even the devil, not even devils can stop you from obeying Jesus Christ. Whatever is hindering you, overcome it. Get past it. Let's worship the Lord right now in Jesus' name. Acts 8:38, he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The Bible said he went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit just took Philip like, he vanished and went back to where God took him. So today, it is up to you if you believe with all your heart, if you will not halt between two decisions, if you won't live in this ambivalent state of mind that, you know, when God's ready, God's already ready. He died over 2,000 years ago for your sins. Well, he'll give me the Holy Ghost when he's ready. No, he's ready. He's been ready. It's not anything holding you back, but you making up your mind and taking a step of faith. There's a secret of repentance. The repentance is what only you can do. Now, one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But right now, Jesus Christ will not violate your will and force you to serve Him. He will not force you to obey Him. But here's the problem. The way of the transgressor is hard. You're living a hard way, a wrong way. The direction you're going is a bad way. It leads to destruction. Amen. So today I'm trying to help you repent, which is a change of mind and heart and life direction away from sin and toward God. It's away from self-will to submit to God's will. And there are some Pentecostals that need to soften your heart and obey the word of God in your life and quit being stiff-necked and hardened in your heart. Repentance is what only you can do. But if you will, I can't say it gives God permission, but it's the best way I know how to describe it. That when you repent, change your mind, change your ways, choose to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. When you do what only you can do, God will do what only He can do. He can cast out devils. He can break the power of addiction. He can give you strength to overcome whatever you're going through in your life. I don't know what is hindering you, but today, would you make up your mind? I'm not going to let it hold me back anymore. I'm not going to let it knock me off course, hold me back, or keep me from being the person that God is calling me to be. And specifically, speaking of water baptism, so don't write me off the rest of my message if you've already been baptized in Jesus' name. What is hindering you from being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Is it that ancient church council that changed the biblical formula of baptism from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the titles of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Is it that you do not understand that there is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved? That the Father came in the flesh. The man was Jesus Christ. That the Holy Spirit that dwells in you is Jesus Christ. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do you not get about baptism in Jesus' name? That it is the only saving name. That whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. To obey the Bible, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So just in case you've not been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you think, well, I can't do that today because I'm not ready for it. According to the Bible, all you need to do before you're baptized is to repent. Turn from your sins and toward Jesus Christ. Say, well, I don't know where I'm going to get baptized. Well, I've got to get this. We've hidden our baptistry behind the drums. Not really hidden, and it's just that's where it is. And it's clean, warm water. Not an icy creek in Minnesota. And well, yeah, but I don't have anything to get baptized in. We've got your back there. We've got a changing room. We have garments. But then I'm going to get wet. Good news, we've got towels for you to dry off with before you go home. But I'm going to get my hair wet. We've got hair nets. But guess what? I'd rather go to heaven with wet hair than not be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what your reason is. I don't know what your excuse is. I don't know what's hindering you. But today, I'm inviting you to obey the word of God to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And nothing can stop you when you make up your mind to get to Jesus. Amen. And for all the saints who've already been baptized, who've already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, by the way, I've seen people who were wanting to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they turned from their sins, they were baptized, but then they became statuesque. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you will not be repenting, you will be receiving. You'll be worshiping. They heard them speak with tongues in the Bible. You don't necessarily have to be shouting, but you can't just meditate and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In every biblical instance that describes in speaking in other tongues, there was vocalization of words they had never learned, a language that they had never studied, that God spoke through them as a sign of the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues like they did in the Bible and like we do today, you don't have to leave here without it. I don't know what's hindering you, but God will baptize you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is the gift of God. It is the promise of the Father. It's for you today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Right now, Lord, I know, and you know so much more than I can even imagine, that there's a battle going on right now. Maybe someone watching online is struggling to embrace the truth. Someone sitting here today that has got this internal dialogue going on. And there's a voice in their head arguing against what I have just spoken from your word. And all of the things that are trying to hinder them from doing the right thing. There are people that have been hindered from forgiving someone who has wronged them because they've rationalized away the Bible and the simple truth of what they need to do. And Lord, only you know all the stuff that's going on inside of us. The battle that might be raging right now. I've been obedient to you, Lord, to just declare what your word says. That whatever is hindering anyone can be overcome by a simple act of the will that releases the supernatural power of your spirit. So I pray in Jesus' name that you, Lord, would do the work that we cannot do when we do what you've commanded us to do, which is to change our minds and open our lives to your lordship. I pray, God, that you would forgive us of our sins. I pray, God, that you would forgive me of my self-will, Lord, that is resistant to your will and to your word. Lord, I know there are people whose minds are blocked from understanding truth because they will not do what they know to do. But today, Lord, I believe that you would help them get over what has been hindering them, that you would save their soul, that you would set them on the right track for eternal life. I pray, Lord God, for anyone who is allowing hindrances to block them from doing what that next step is in their lives. And I pray that you would give us obedience to you today so that the miraculous power of God can be demonstrated in our lives. And I pray for that right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.